Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. We would like to thank you for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? Hello, Think Big Radio listeners. This is Thomas Abdul Salam, your host for today. To get more information on me and the other host of ThinkBigRadio.com, you can go to ThinkBigRadioHost.com, and there you will find more information about all of your hosts, including myself here tonight. And we're going to have a conversation with a Felton Wooten. He has written a book on letters, I say, to his daughter. Mr. Wooten, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Mr. Wooten, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the Think Big Radio listening audience, and then we will go into our interview with you here tonight.
All right. My name is Felton Wooten, and I live in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm a native of Greensboro, went to North Carolina Central in Durham. My background is I'm a nursing home administrator for about 30 years, and now I'm working as a human resource director for the All-Stars Group, which provides mental health services for people in Guilford County.
Okay. And we understand that where we're here tonight is you've written a book, and if I got the title correct, is Daddy, the Other Parent, where you have for some 20-odd years have been writing letters to your daughters. And why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about your book?
Okay. This book is a compilation of 16 letters that I put together in the last year, but some of them come from over the 20 years. But it's on different subjects from love, comfort, joy, gratitude, hope, just a lot of different subjects. And I started writing my daughters when they were a year old, and I would usually write them at the beginning of each year. And now recently I put a lot of them together in one book.
Okay. So so what prompted you to even begin this process of writing your daughters?
Well, first of all, I enjoy writing letters, and when I was younger, if I would go away, my mother would write letters, or my father, and sometimes my brother. And it was always real special to receive a letter, especially in someone's own script. And I would save my letters. So I got in the habit of writing letters. And in addition, writing letters gave you an opportunity to really pull together your thoughts and put more meaning in the conversation when you put it on paper.
Okay. So so what has been the benefit, the overall benefit of writing? Right now I'm going to talk about you, then we're going to get into the benefit of maybe your daughters. But from your perspective, what have you gotten out of writing letters to your daughter? What has it meant for you?
It's meant to me just information that I tend to know, but perhaps my daughters don't. And especially with children, you want to nurture them. You want to nurture their nature. And it gave me an opportunity to really sit down, formulate my thoughts, and pass on that information. And a lot of times when you're trying to guide your children, just with the hustle and bustle of life, you don't always have the opportunity or time to share as much as you'd like to. But writing the letters, it gives you that opportunity to expand that thought and give it to them, and then you know later on that they may read it that day, or they may read it 5 or 10 years. But the other part of it is when I'm dead and gone, they can take those letters and go back to them and look at them, read them, and then perhaps they may even share those words of wisdom to their children and perhaps later on their grandchildren. So for me, it's real gratifying to know that I will have an impact on their lives now, but even in the future when I may not be here.
Okay. Well, I would call that that big thinking. So now you were talking about in your own script. So what you're encouraging people to do is to physically in their own handwriting write the letter versus doing a email or typing out the letter?
Yes, yes. And the other part of it is you can make it quite enjoyable. I will often, now some people might not even remember the fountain pens, but anyway, just the art of making the letter pretty, the script pretty. I might have a nice cup of coffee or tea and sit out on the patio, and sometimes I've done it when I've been at the beach, and I've sat there and thought about what I wanted to say, and I've created an enjoyable experience for myself, but yet I would have a nice handwritten letter to them. And then the other part of it is when one sees that rather than the hard, cold print from a type, I know that they'll get that warm, fuzzy feeling by seeing that, because I remember those feelings receiving letters from people that I knew.
Okay. So the physically writing the letter to them, so do you mail them to them? Do you give them to them? Do they get the benefit of receiving them in the mail, even though I know they're living in your home? How are the letters delivered to them?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, when they were younger, I would mail the letters. And because, again, young children often don't get mail. So I knew my daughters liked getting mail, so I would write them. Now that our oldest daughter has graduated from college, I would write her letters and still do. So with her being away, I think it's just real neat to go to your mailbox and you don't have a bill in there or something else. And if you're at home, if you're living at home, and when they were, and we have our youngest sister, she can go to the mailbox and get it. And a lot of times I'd get a real kick out of really trying to disguise my handwriting. So it was always, I wouldn't put the return address on there, and I'd get the mail out, and I knew it was the letter was from me. But then I'd like to see their faces when they got in and said, well, who is this from?
Okay. So now why don't we maybe get into the book. So what are some of the things that you've written about? And let's talk, and then we maybe dive into one or two of those.
Okay. And this is a good example. One of the letters that I wrote, and also with the letters, I give an assignment at the very end. And like the letter I'm going to mention now, in many families, there might be a strand of cancer or high blood or problems with your heart. And through just conversations, young people might not even know that they have those particular health problems. So one letter in particular I wrote was on depression, because on one side of my family, that's an illness that people have struggled with. So I thought, as a father, I need to share the information that I know and I know about our family. But I remember when I was younger, nobody really talked about it, but I've struggled with some of those issues. But I muddled through them. So I wrote a letter specifically on depression. And then at the very end, like with the letter on depression, I asked the question, what did you do to handle depression today if you're depressed? Or if you know someone that's depressed, what have you done to help them?
Okay. So, I mean, did you talk about the signs of depression? I mean, how do they recognize it for themselves? Or?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about that, but I also talked about what you do, I guess, when you know that you're having these kinds of feelings, but what is it as an individual that you can do? And I also said, even if some of those things don't work, you might even need to go get counseling. But again, right. I also remembered one time I had problems with a thyroid. And then later, after I had my thyroid surgery, I found out many people on my father's side had the same problem. I got to talking with them about it, but I had no idea that that was a particular strand of a health issue. So, again, it sparks you to think about the kinds of things that, as adults, we know But sometimes if we just don't take the time and the opportunity to identify them and share, our kids may just blindly go through life and stumble on them later.
Okay. Does it also include maybe sharing the family tree with your children, or to help them better understand where they come from, what's happening in their lives or get in their past,
oh,
I guess?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, on both sides of the family, my wife's side and my side, we have drawn out the family tree. We've talked about it. We have family reunions on both sides of the family. And also we talk about some of our ancestors, some of the good ones, some of the ones that are not so good, so that they know and they know and understand where they've come from, and that also no family's perfect. So we do share that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about so one of your chapters here, I believe, is love. So what
okay.
kinds of things you talk about there, and I also noticed that you also give spiritual advice. So come talk about some of those things. Give us a preview of your book.
Right. Well, and also with each subject matter, if it's love, I will choose a scripture to start the letter off with. And then I'll write. For example, with the one on love, I chose John 15:11-12. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I just started off as love the areas of your life and love the people who contribute to your life. Love yourself, and you can truly love others. Treat yourself with love and look for others who will treat you with the same degree of love. Love should not be painful, but pleasurable. And then I give love should be fun, but not bring unhappiness. Love should come with ease and not with a lot of work and effort. Love should bring laughter and not tears. And I go on. And then at the end I said, the question, how have I expressed love to myself or to someone else? How did the other person know I was expressing love towards them?
Okay. So we as, say, the general public, you're writing to your daughters, but again, the information that is shared, how would we use it? I mean, it's not a, I mean, it's a more general kind of approach here.
Mm-hmm. Well, one way you could use it, and again, it's interesting, even though I named the book My Daddy, the Other Parent, a series of letters to daughters, it could be a book given to any young person. And the way I could use it, an example, this is the month of September where a lot of young people as well as college-age students are returning to college. This would be a great opportunity to get the book and then write a letter to accompany the book, because with young people going to school from a first grader to even someone going to college, there are things that you might want to share specifically about going into a new grade level or going into a freshman year, sophomore year. And it gives you as an adult the opportunity to share that wisdom that we have as adults and maybe have not had the opportunity to communicate that. And with the book, it can spark conversations because there are lots of, that I have in this particular book, 16 different subjects. But you give the book, and then you write a letter on whatever subject you think of. Or it could just be a letter in general, but it gives that young person something of yourself, and that's one of the greatest gifts you can give of yourself, but it gives that guidance and also will spark certainly some discussion.
Okay. So how has your daughters, I mean, let's say maybe some of the general readers, have they, responded to the information, the advice, the wisdom that you've given?
Oh, good. And I guess a recent example of, I think with any any adult and sometimes just any person, when they're getting ready to take an exam, there's always a tendency to have some kind of anxiety. And one example, our oldest daughter is a very smart young lady and graduated at the top of her class in high school and college. Well, she's now back in grad school, but right before she was getting ready to take the GMAT, as all of us, we get a little anxious. Mm-hmm. And she was talking to her mother one night, and I thought, so in this particular case, it was the night before she was taking GMAT. So I didn't have time to do a handwritten letter. So I told her mother, I said, tell her to watch out for email. So in the email, I told her, go back to a particular chapter in my book called Open-Mindedness. And in that one, years ago, I had witnessed an automobile accident where I could only recall at the moment the policeman talked with me, just particular facts. But then they asked me, would I be willing to go under hypnosis to give them more facts? And I thought, wow, this is a real neat experience. So I went and I was hypnotized. And when I did that, also I was a painter. I was studying clouds as I was doing acrylic painting and landscape. But when I was hypnotized, when they told me to open my eyes, I was sitting on the highway, and they said, what do you see? I said, well, I'm approaching High Point Road. I'm traveling on Interstate 40. So after that, I learned about the mind and hypnosis, and I learned that everything that your mind sees records it, but you only use what you need. So I emailed my daughter, and I said, go back to that chapter, and I gave her some steps, because also I taught myself self-hypnosis when I had an anxiety. I was real anxious about taking an exam for my professional license. So I said, go back to that chapter. I gave her the steps to self-hypnotize herself prior to going to bed, and I told her to give herself a post-hypnotic suggestion. So then when she did that, she woke up the next morning, and she called. She said, wow, Daddy, I really slept good. I haven't slept that soundly and deeply in a while. So she took the exam, and she called her mother first, and then she called me. But the GMAT ended about 11 o'clock that morning. And by 11:15, she called, and she had made roughly 90 points higher than she had previously. So that was a good example where the things that I knew about the mind, I had not really had an opportunity otherwise to just verbalize that to her. But in this particular case, I had taken the time. I wrote letters about stuff I knew. And then when she was in a situation, as a father, I could communicate that to her much better through the written word. I had already given the letter, but I could go back, specifically give her instructions. Because in this example, all the knowledge was in her head. It was in her brain. She just needed to calm herself down enough to retrieve it without having any anxiety.
Right, right. Okay, that sounds interesting. I've never experienced hypnosis.
Yeah. And then, you know, there have been a couple other examples where perhaps one of my daughters is just having some kind of challenge with maybe a classmate or something. And I could say, well, go back to this letter reading, and then we'd go back and talk about it. That was just a catalyst to allow us to talk more about it. The written word doesn't do everything, but sometimes it can at least serve as an entree so that you, as a parent, can have the opportunity to just share even more. And again, it doesn't have to be just daughters. This whole experience for me, because I'm now I talk to church groups and other groups, and it's allowed people to see how as adults we can really positively impact our youth, which are our future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the book itself, where it would be available, give us your contact information, how would they get the book?
All right. They can order it certainly directly from authorhouse.com. That's the publisher, and that's AUTHORHOUSE.com. Or they can email me directly, and I can send the book out to them. And my email address is felwoo@aol.com. And my phone number is area code 336-210-6837. If they want to just send a check of money order, the book is $9.95 and $1.50 for shipping and handling, and the address is 4642 West Market Street, Suite 166. And that's in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the zip code is 27407.
Okay. That's excellent. So if you want to order the book, and the name of the book again is?
My Daddy, the Other Parent.
Okay. So if you want to order the book, Daddy, the Other Parent, by all means, get that information there and follow up with Felton there and order the book. So now let's talk about hope, and one of the chapters in your book is about hope.
Okay, all right, let me go to that chapter.
Okay, while you're doing that, let me just give another little station break. Thank Big Radio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. We would like to thank you for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? And again, I'm Thomas Abdul Salam. If you want your host, if you would like to learn more about myself and the other hosts on Think Big Radio, please go to ThinkBigRadioHost.com, and there you can find the information about all of the hosts on the website there. Remember, every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, you can listen to ThinkBigRadio.com. And today our guest is Felton Wooten, and he has written a book called Daddy, the Other Parent, which is a compilation of letters, in this case 16 letters he's chosen out of a span of over 20 years that he's written to his daughters over that time, giving advice, giving daddy's wisdom and other kinds of tidbits to his daughters. And Mr. Wilton, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's move into love. Let's talk about the chapter on love and what's some of the information or advice that our readers can expect to encounter there.
All right. Well, the one on love, I just gave different examples on what you look for in love. And I gave examples of how you express love, and more importantly, that you express love for yourself. The other part of it in love was that I wanted, especially for my daughters, to certainly look for young men who would show examples of love, not take advantage of them, and also that they have the mind to identify when someone's running a game on them. But I also gave examples between my parents. One of the things, and I mentioned in the book, how my mother and my father showed love in different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. An example, my mother, even though I didn't like a particular food, she didn't necessarily just cook that one dish and I had to eat it. She would cook something for my brother and myself. Mm-hmm. On special occasions, we would always make a big to-do if it was my mother's birthday or if it was my father's birthday. So as a father, here in our household, when it's Mother's Day, from when they were young even to now, we'll come up with a menu and we'll do it together and we'll set the table with the fine china, and we treat my wife and their mother especially, and I want them to see those examples. I mentioned that in the letter. And mm-hmm. just so, and like for young men, if you're writing to your sons or young men, again, you're showing examples of what love is and what love shouldn't be. So in that section, I mention a lot of things like that.
Okay, okay. And so your daughters have been reading these letters for, you know, 20-some-odd years. I know you said that your younger daughter is just in high school right now, so
mm-hmm.
almost 18 years they've been having access. So what is your daughter, how have they responded to this? I mean, how did they fit this in their life? Important, you know, daddy just talking, or how do they perceive it?
No, I think they're important. I think they feel like it's important. They have kept them. One has them very organized in a book. One has them together, but maybe not as organized. Well, that's a different children, but they certainly recognize the value, and we've talked about them. So I feel like it means a lot to them. I will share with you that when I first mentioned that I was going to do the book, they weren't happy at all, because they said these were our letters, and they were rather possessive of them. But what occurred was, as an administrator of a nursing home, periodically, especially if I knew staff was struggling with something in particular, I might pull a letter out that I might have used, and I would rearrange it just for staff. And that's how the book came about. My food service manager at that time said, Felton, you should put this in a book, because when I'd write the letter, sometimes staff would come and say, oh, Mr. Wooten, you don't know, I was really going through something at this time, and it really helped uplift my spirits, or it gave me some insight on how I might need to handle it. So when I mentioned that I was going to write the letter, that I was going to put it in a book, they weren't happy at all. But then I shared with them that, yes, these letters are for you, but also as a parent, I wanted to teach, and I think it's important as adults that we teach the importance of what we're given that's coming from inside us, and how we can impact not only our household, but how we can impact our community and our world. And if mm-hmm. my letters can reach someone else who may be struggling with an issue, I don't care if it's one person or a million people, it's important that at least at this particular time someone says that these letters could help someone. I wanted to let them know, yes, you do have your own letters, but if it can help somebody else, that's what we got to think about. And again, by this example, I certainly see how they reach out to others, how others come to them, and sometimes they say, well, I don't even know why people just come up to me and start talking with them about their own problems. But I think as a result of me sharing, and then ultimately now they understand that it's not necessarily, I don't want to say it was a selfish, but those letters were important to them, but they also could be used to help others and the greater population.
Okay. So did they help you in choosing these 16 letters? Or?
No, I chose them myself. Because because I really didn't talk much about publishing the book. I just went on and started the process. And I think I may have mentioned it, but then when I mentioned it, that's when I realized, well, really they had told their mother. And then my wife told me, and then we talked about it. So I had already started the process. I had chosen the letters. And had sent them on to the publisher.
Oh, okay. So the process was kind of on down the road by the time they got involved.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to say nothing here, but I'm, you know, it's all been done with, so I'm going to let that go.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that's, I guess the other part of it is we look at our overall community and our world. And again, as human beings and as adults, we have lots of experiences. And I guess at that particular time, I thought, if my small contribution can help someone in Washington, D.C., or Greensboro, or Mississippi, just by reading the letter, and then if that spirals to another person and they can then reach someone and help someone, in my own small way, I can positively impact our greater community. So when it hit my mind to do that, I just thought, all right, this is a way that I can help. I can help others, and I just move forward. I hadn't thought about, and again, I knew the letters were important, but I hadn't thought about how they would really feel about it. But they're okay with it now.
Okay. So how long has the book been out now?
Just came out in July.
Oh, okay. So it's very new on the street.
Yes, and yes. And I'm working on planning the book signing right now. And there are three different cities, starting Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina, and then Lexington, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, okay. So would you also be able to go to Amazon.com and those places and get the book now? Or?
Probably so. I've just got to work a little bit, a few more details with Author House. And I think they will also have it on Amazon.
Okay, okay. All right. So now, what other things about the book we can talk about here? I know that you also have, let me say, what would be for the public, what might surprise me? What's in the book? What might be there? What might surprise me that you might have offered there?
I think maybe I often talk about, I don't know if it would surprise you, but I do emphasize the importance of the spiritual connection. And sometimes mm-hmm. people don't talk about that. They think it's politically not correct, and they try to do everything politically correct. And I really talk about the importance of prayer, the importance of being connected with our greater spiritual source, if it's God or if you call it the entity something else. Mm-hmm. So I very honestly, openly talk about that and talk about how we can rely on it. And I give examples of situations within my own family where maybe people haven't spoken to each other for years, and I share with them just how my mother constantly prayed over I guess a period of about 7 years that the situation would be resolved, and she had hope and she had faith. Mm-hmm. Those are things that you can't put your hand on, but it's important to talk about it. I don't know if that would be surprising, but again, in this society where people are trying to be so politically correct, I've talked very honestly about that, my feelings, and how one should choose to handle a problem.
Okay, okay. Now, when there, excuse me, if I'm stumbling for a moment. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
The book itself now, I mean, now that you've written and now that you've gone through the process and everything else, so how is it, you know, again, I guess I'm trying to see, it's kind of, I'm kind of thinking of it kind of like a, maybe I shouldn't use the word, like a Bible, maybe a handbook or something. Would it maybe mm-hmm. like a handbook, something you can reach for that could give you some solace at certain times or? That may be a way to.
Yes, because the subjects range from believing in yourself, and I actually have a poem in here that I wrote. I started that off, start the book off with the poem that I wrote on Believe. But you're right, a person could pick this up, and just looking at the different subjects that I talked on, believing, comfort, and of course there was depression, energy and emotions, faith, mm-hmm. gratitude, hope, illness, jealousy, kindness, love, memories, your name, open-minded, preparation, and quiet. So again, that's a range of subjects that a person, if they're going through something, might could read, and it would give them some insight on how they might handle something that's going on with them. And in addition, in this book, I also mentioned if this book touched your heart in any kind of way, and if you want to submit a letter to me in our next book, what I'd like to do is have a compilation of letters from adults. And again, I did focus on men because men have a tendency sometimes not to talk a lot and not share all their thoughts. And then the second book, different men or different adults could submit letters, and we have a compilation of different letters. And also with that, now it's moved towards, it's suggested that I create a website where men could write in particular problems that they may be having. Other men could view the question or concern, write back their thoughts on how they could solve it. So the book has started in one area, now it's moved in a lot of different areas.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, are you pursuing these avenues? Or?
I am. And in fact, I'm talking with several people now and how I can make that come about. But again, the other question, a person can pick this book up, and a person can, I think, in lot from the different subjects that I address, can find something that could help them in that particular time in their life. And then, more importantly, that question that I pose at the end, it's an action question that makes the person think about what can they do, if it's about themselves or what they can do to help somebody else.
Okay, that's excellent. Why don't you go ahead and give your contact information again and where people can order the book, pick up the book, give us that information again.
Sure. And I'll get on the Think Big Radio site, one of the things I did not put on the website that's called Zenzu, is Z as in zebra, E-N-Z again, U-U, zenzu.com/Felton Wooten 1954. It has the information right there where you can either contact me directly or Arthur House. And again, that's zenzu.com/Felton Wooten 1954. Or my email address is felwoo@aol.com. And then my phone number is area code 336-210-6837. 336-210-6837.
Okay. And then the book is, you can order from where?
Can order directly from me, or you can go on the website of authorhouse.com, and if you type in my name, Felton Wooten, or either the title, My Dad is the Other Parent, it will bring it up, and you can order it directly, and they'll ship it directly from Author House, or if they're contacting me, I can send it here from Greensboro.
Okay. All right, excellent. So we're getting down in the last few minutes of the program. Is there anyone you would like to thank or acknowledge, or anything that we might haven't covered you want to make sure we get in here on the broadcast?
Well, I certainly want to thank my wife and daughters for just being there for me, being supportive, and being understanding. My parents, my mother passed this August, and she was certainly an inspiration, and my father passed a year ago. And I'll just share, like now, I'm actually composing a letter, and I've been working on it as it relates to death that will go to my daughters, because you go through the funeral, and then life seems to move on, but you still have things that are occurring with you. So, again, from
right.
A father, I'm writing now to them. But there were lots of people from Anita Goodman Bradford, who did editing. My brother and his wife did editing, and my wife. So lots of different people helped me towards the end, and certainly my parents were a great inspiration.
Okay. Well, if nothing else, I'm going to give a shout-out to your daughters. First of all, appreciate the inspiration
that you
gave your father to write these in from the very beginning. Obviously,
yes.
He loves you very much. I'm going to give that shout out to them.
Right.
ask you about sharing them. We do want to thank you and be very appreciative that you allowed him to share his wisdom with the rest of us. So I'm going to give that shout out to your daughters, okay? Thank you, thank you. That kind of help get you off the hook a little bit more, okay?
I'm
with you, brother. I'm with you.
Thank you.
We happen to have a caller on the line. I apologize. I may have stepped away from the computer. The caller may want to ask a question. I'm going to bring them on. We got about 5 minutes left. Caller, can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
I am Melinda Holmes in Hampton, Virginia.
Well, hello.
Hello. And this happens to be my nephew, and I have just thoroughly enjoyed the interview. And I would just like to congratulate him on his works. I had received some literature on the book. I heard him talking about it, but by listening to the interview, I have certainly gained a greater insight about what it's all about, and I'm certainly looking forward to purchasing the book. I have shared the information with many of my friends, and I've had responses from them from as far as Florida on today. So I'm just hoping and praying that I know that it's going to be a big success, Felton, and I just want to congratulate you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What a surprise.
I wish I could say I arranged that, you know, but I didn't. But I wish I could say I arranged that for you. But we appreciate you very much for coming on and congratulating. I think you said this is your nephew. Is that what you?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And this is Aunt Lynn in Hampton, Virginia.
All right. We definitely appreciate you coming on and listening tonight. Thank you
very much.
You're
more than welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Felton.
Wow.
Almost combined your name there together. All right, so there you have one well-wisher and a family member. So, again, we want to thank and appreciate you for sharing your information with us. And I think that, you know, the book sounds like it has a lot of good wisdom. And I would say the same thing. When I did not write my children as much, you know, try to have those conversations. And I think this is very good. So parents and other people listening, it's not too late to start communicating with your children and giving them information, because as someone said to me, and a matter of fact, Donald Payton, who is a genealogist, he said to me one time, whenever someone dies, it's like a library burning down.
That's right.
So you have to get that information out. You have to put it in your children's hand, your family's hands. You have to do something, but don't take all of your wisdom to the grave with you. So follow in Mr. Wooten's footsteps, sit down, write some letters. If you're not good at writing, sit down and type it out. I'm sure he doesn't discourage that, but some kind of way, get that information out and share your wisdom with your children, your family, your wife, your brothers, your sisters. All of us have walked through life in a very different way. And even though sometimes we're looking at the same thing, we did see it very differently.
That's right.
So would you have any last words you would like to say? We're down to about the last 90 seconds.
Yes, I would also like to say, and you sparked a thought, even if you're not a writer, you can, and because I spoke to a group, you could sit down and tell what you want to someone who does write. They could put it together, and then if you wanted to copy it over, you could. But, again, you would still have that opportunity to share your thoughts.
Yeah, and I would even, I mean, you sparked another one. Remember, you got video nowadays. You can sit down with a recorder. You can actually cut a CD on your computer. But do not take that wisdom to the grave with you.
That's
put
right.
Put it out there. Give it to somebody else to use, and then that way, while you're, say, dead and gone, you will still be living with someone very dear in their heart. They'll be able to sit down and read your words, listen to your words, or watch your video. Again, this is Thomas Abdul Salam. This is Think Big Radio, and we would like to thank all of our listening audience tonight. And again, thinkbigradio.com is where you come for all your realty, business, and financial entertainment and networking needs. Please spread the word about Think Big Radio. We want to thank our guest, Mr. Felton Wooten, tonight. And again, buy his book. Go to authorhouse.com or contact him directly. Again, Mr. Wooten, we appreciate you, and you have a good evening. And to our radio listening audience, you also have a good evening. See us here on Thursday. Join us same time, same place. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.